Hey everyone, and welcome back to your exclusive weekly patron cast. This time it's season 4, and I think it's episode 21. And there are three things I'd like to talk about. The first one will be about the channel in general, with a few news and information. The second one will be about Firefox, and maybe I'm going to leave it to move to a Chromium-based browser, and I just wanted to talk about why. And finally, we'll talk quickly about what's happening with KeePass XC and the Debian maintainer for this package, and why, no matter how hard some people try to convince me that what is happening is actually for the best interests of users, I still think that this maintainer should probably resign. But we'll talk about it. So first, let's start with the channel. So, to begin with, we have some good news about a few sponsors. So, Proton renewed their 2 videos per month contract for another year, which means it is great. I love working with Proton. I've been using Proton Mail more and more for my personal mail as I keep moving stuff towards this. I even created a specific alias for the channel, which I will probably start moving towards as well. It won't be my own domain name, but honestly, like I talked about it, I would much rather use a well-established solution. I don't quite trust my current domain provider to have solid email right now. So, this is cool. Proton renewed the contract. That gives us a more, more leeway in terms of revenue, which is good. We also signed a contract for Ground News for 6 videos over 3 months, so 2 videos per month. If you don't know about them, they're basically a news aggregator website that will give you context on every news source to let you know if they have a specific political bias, if they are owned by a specific company, if their reporting on specific topics has been oriented in a specific way or not. So they're not publishing their own news articles. They're just letting you know whether you're in the EU, in the UK, in the US, whether a specific source is oriented in a specific way, and then you make up your own mind, your own opinion. You can still only follow the news sources that you prefer and not be exposed to other viewpoints, but that's not really the goal. The goal is to see different viewpoints and know where they're coming from and if there are like conflict of interests or specific biases you should be aware of. So that's a cool sponsor. I've been seeing it more and more on other YouTube channels, and I really think it's a good fit for the channel. It's not pushing a specific political agenda or whatever. It's just letting you define which news sources you want. So happy to have them on board. We also are seeing some pretty big progress on the number of Patreon supporters and YouTube members. I think the daily news show seemed to be working out. They took a little while to get going. It's been like 5 months, or almost a full 5 months, since I've been doing the daily Linux and open source news show. But now it seems that people are actually enjoying those and watching those and discovering those, whether it's on YouTube or on Patreon, which is really, really nice. And I'm happy that this strategy seems to be working. Now, in less good news, I am starting to look at maybe increasing the base tier price from €1 to €2. The main problem is inflation has been pretty crazy, and the extra amount of work from the daily news has been making things a bit more complex for me in terms of organization, because I now basically have to start my day with this daily news show. It takes about an hour and a half to collate sources, to write the scripts, to record things. And so it adds up to about an extra day of work at the end of the week. And so €1 per month is not a lot, but also I don't really want to increase the prices for this because, well, not everyone can afford to basically double their contribution. I would really hate to see people not being able to support the channel because it's too expensive. So I don't quite know how to do it. Maybe I'll just ask you in a poll on Patreon and on YouTube if that's something you would be okay with or absolutely not. And basically, I'll let you decide if you think it's fair or not fair, and we'll see how it goes, because I just don't want to unilaterally decide that, hey, now you're going to have to pay twice as much to support the channel. It would make sense financially for the amount of work that is required from all the perks in that first tier, but also I don't think it's really fair for people to double the price, so we'll see about that. I'll probably ask you in a vote, and you'll tell me what you think about this. Now, You will get to vote on the topics for June tomorrow. I have already started looking at what I wanted to cover and what I wanted to offer in terms of votes. We should have 9 videos, I think, in June, which is going to be quite a lot because there will be one full week where there won't be any videos, any daily shows, or even the Patreon cast because I will be on holidays. I decided that this year I will take one full week without looking at comments, emails, creating anything, publishing anything that had been prepared previously. I will just have one full week of disconnection in June and probably one more in August as well, as I'll be planning my move to the new flat. So this week in June, I will be going to Rome for the holidays with my girlfriend. We have booked a hotel in the city center, relatively close to the Colosseum. So it's going to be very, very cool. We're super excited about this. And in August, it's probably just going to be like planning the move, packing stuff up and moving and just basically setting things up in the new flat. Once we're sure, we can have it in August. So don't worry, you will still get the usual number of videos. There just will be a week where there won't be any. But that shouldn't be too much of an impact. I hope you will forgive me for not publishing stuff for a week, but I haven't had any vacation since August last year, so I think it's only fair I take at least 1 week. So that's about it for the channel. Good stuff for the sponsors, good stuff for the Patreon members and the YouTube members. So it's all going pretty well. The number of views is picking back up after the weird month of January to March. April has been good. May is being good as well. So yeah, everything is nice and sponsors are lined up. It's all pretty much on track. Now let's move on to talking about Firefox. And now I've been pondering leaving Firefox as my default browser for good this time. And what basically kickstarted this is that I've been using Nobara a little bit on my Tuxedo Cube, which is my gaming console. I stopped using HoloISO because the upgrade to the immutable version didn't work and I just wanted to try something else. And Nobara has been great, so I've been using that. But by default, they ship Chromium. I think it might just be ungoogled Chromium or just default Chromium. And at first I was like, okay, I'm just going to install Firefox and sync my stuff. But I wondered, hey, you know what, maybe just use it for a minute just to see how well it works, because it has been a while since I have used a Chromium-based browser. And oh, holy crap, is it much, much faster than Firefox. It's night and day. I don't know if it's linked to the driver specifically, if, I don't know, Firefox performs worse with AMD drivers than Chromium browsers do, or I'm not sure, or maybe it's on my laptop using Firefox with like the basic Intel drivers or Nvidia drivers, doesn't give a good experience, but Chromium is just so much faster, or at least it feels so much faster than Firefox. Everything is smoother, scrolling feels smoother, loading pages is much faster, interacting with the UI is faster, and in a lot of websites that I use daily, the experiences in Chromium is way better than in Firefox. When I use Patreon on Chromium, it is much faster than on Firefox. Sometimes on Firefox, when I click the create button in Patreon to create a post, I have a 10 seconds delay before I see the pop-up letting me pick the type of content I want to create. It's instant on Chromium. Sometimes loading my page on Patreon to see my various posts and the comments under them takes ages on Firefox, and in Chromium, it's instant. On YouTube and YouTube Creator Studio, I won't really take that as an example because obviously Google is favoring their own engine compared to Firefox. They have been doing that for a long while. They are breaking stuff intentionally in Firefox. So yes, on Chromium, YouTube Studio is much faster. YouTube in general is much faster, more responsive, smoother. But that's also something I can see on a lot of other websites. Performing a web search in Ecosia feels insanely faster in Chromium as well. So basically, the entire experience of browsing the web using the UI is just faster in Chromium. The only thing that is missing from Chromium right now is the ability to just take a screenshot of a web page, like a part of the web page or the entire web page, straight from the browser. There are probably extensions for Chrome that let you do that, so maybe I'll just look for that. But yeah, Firefox, I love it. I've been using it for a long while. It's the default in virtually every Linux distro, and it's great. I much prefer Firefox to Chromium. if only because I don't want to encourage Google's monopoly in terms of rendering engine. Because yes, Blink and the Chromium project in general are open source. The issue is the entire governance of the project is by senior engineers at Google, meaning that as soon as they decide that a new feature that should be a web standard is not in Google's best interest for ads or for YouTube or for any of their products, they will basically block it in Blink or Chromium. They will prevent its adoption or hamstring it or just flat out just refuse to merge the changes that someone might have offered. And this is a problem because most web browsers today use Chromium as a base or at least the Blink engine. Whether you use Opera, Edge, Brave, Chrome, of course, Chromium, whatever else, Vivaldi, you're using basically Chrome. It's Chrome with a different UI. And so it's the same rendering engine. And so if Google decides that they don't want this feature to exist, then it won't. And that's why I still use Firefox, because I don't want to encourage this kind of monopoly. I don't think Google is a trustworthy enough company to have them have a monopoly on how the web is rendered and how new features that could be interesting are implemented or not implemented. But now, with the differences in speed, in responsiveness, in smoothness, even in opening the browser, Chromium is faster than opening Firefox on the same device. It's kind of insane. And Firefox is now adding more data collection, even though you can disable it, it's fully anonymized, but it's not a road I want them to engage in, because that's precisely what I despise about Google and Chrome, even though Mozilla is doing it in a way more ethical way than Google. And with Firefox's pretty stagnant pace of innovation in the browser's engine, it hasn't really evolved or gotten better all that much, or at least not noticeably. Their Linux support is generally pretty subpar. They take longer to bring new features to Linux than to other platforms. Their mobile apps aren't all that great. It kind of feels that by sticking with Firefox, I'm swimming against the current and I'm voluntarily, like, making my experience worse. This is not something I've ever felt with any other app that I chose to use. When I moved to Thunderbird for email, I really progressed in terms of experience compared to the previous email clients I was using. When I moved to QO Notes, I felt like I made progress. When I moved to Linux compared to Windows or macOS, I felt like my experience got better. But by sticking to Firefox, I feel like I'm making my experience worse for an ethical reason, and it's getting harder and harder to justify and to keep doing that. I really don't want to use Chromium-based browsers. I have advocated against those for a long, long while. But at that point, I'm sort of fed up to have slow browsing, not smooth scrolling, like unresponsive websites, and sometimes even completely broken websites. It's not Firefox's fault. They do implement standards properly. It's the website developer's fault for not like supporting or testing their stuff under Firefox and just conforming to Google and to Chromium. But the issue is, why would you spend the time supporting a browser that has like 4 or 10% market share at best on the desktop when you can just support virtually everyone else and you just do mobile Safari as well for iPhone users because they still have a big user market share? I don't know, it's gonna get worse and worse and worse, and Mozilla is no longer really the nonprofit or company that I trust. I don't really like what they're doing. I don't really enjoy the direction they're going in. I don't know. It feels like I'm at that crossroads where I might just sacrifice my support for Mozilla and Firefox just to have a better day-to-day experience because I'm tired of having stuff being unresponsive, slow, to support a non-profit that I don't really think is going the right way anymore. So do you have the same experience? Have you moved away from Firefox to something else? What do you use in terms of Chromium-based browser? Which one is your favorite? And just let's discuss this because it's a hard decision for me. It shouldn't be really, it's just a web browser, but there are so many other concerns. Let me know what you think about this. And finally, I wanted to talk about KeePass XC and generally a specific Debian maintainer maintaining this. So KeePass XC is a password manager that is, as far as I know, fully open source and being packaged on a lot of distros. And recently, some Debian testing users noticed that the integration from their password manager into their web browser just stopped working. They looked at the settings, they noticed they could no longer check certain checkboxes to say, hey, yes, KeePass XE has the right to talk to Firefox or Chrome, so that the extension for KeePass XE in that browser can autofill websites with credentials and passwords. So they asked the maintainer, hey, what gives? This is broken, can you fix it? And the maintainer just said, oh no, I voluntarily disabled it because it's a non-secure feature. It's not secure. I don't want people to use that. And it's crappy. It's a misguided development that shouldn't exist. And so no, in the default package, you will no longer be able to use your password manager in your browser directly. What you will have to do is open the website you want to log into, then go to your system tray, open your password manager, unlock it with your master password, look for the exact password you're looking for using the search bar, copy it, and then paste it inside of your browser. Is that not acceptable? That was their answer, and they basically qualified a version that plugs into your web browser as the crappy version. They said that these developments were misguided. I talked about it in the Daily Linux and Open Source News show and in the weekly show as well. But damn, this is patronizing and a really bad attitude. Like, first, if you think that having your password manager and your web browser communicating with each other is insecure, then you probably should not use the internet at all. Because, well, yes, of course it's insecure. Everything, every communication that makes your life easier is insecure. But at that point, you don't use a graphical user interface because the attack surface is larger. Or you don't use the network at all because that's not good. Or you just stop using copy-pasting between apps because if you're using X11, any app can read that. Your clipboard is not secure in X11 at all. Any app can access it. I don't understand this attitude. If you're maintaining an application, you are here to ship the default experience for this application. You're not here to decide what users should use or not. Especially in Debian, which has clear policies against that. They basically state in their contribution and maintainership policies that it's not up to you to decide how things are and you should not modify the default behavior of applications. Generally, the community's response has been atrocious to that, obviously. Why would you decide what users need or don't need? People who don't want this feature enabled can disable the plugin if they think it's insecure. But for most people, I would think having communication for your password manager on your web browser is basically the entire point of the password manager. Personally, apart from the web browser, I have zero use for a password manager, apart from maybe having the logins to my other servers that I use to handle this channel. That's, most users don't have other servers. They just have a web browser with passwords that they need to enter in them. And asking them to go into the password manager, unlock it, copy-paste stuff, is a lot of extra steps daily. And if they use X11, it's less secure to do that than having the password manager communicate with a browser extension that has been vetted and created by the developer of the app. I just don't understand this rationale, and I just don't understand why this feature would be considered more insecure than a lot of other things that you can do by default on the system. And even if you put that aside, it's not up to the maintainer of an app to decide what users can or cannot do with this application. It would be like the GIMP maintainer deciding that the plugin to add shadows is crappy and is not responsive and the code is bad, so let's just not ship it at all. And if you want it, you can just always compile it yourself. That's what someone actually answered me on Mastodon when I talked about this in the weekly news show. Someone told me, hey, I would much rather have a super secure password manager by default and users who want the plugin can always compile it themselves. But no, you're using a distribution and their packages because they're pre-packaged. That's the entire point of packages, is having to not have to compile applications and their feature set. If you want the password manager without the plugin, then you can compile it yourself. But the default extension, the default behavior, should be the full featured one. And people who don't want those features can either disable them in the settings, because yes, that's a thing you can do, and so there's no communication, and so you're back to having something secure, or you can even compile it without the plugin itself. I don't understand this thing. I don't see how the maintainer's reaction could be considered justified in any way. You're here to build a package so users don't have to bother compiling things themselves. If you don't do that and you voluntarily limit the feature set, then you're just not doing your job and you should. And if you think the application is not supposed to work this way, then you disagree with the developers. And so you should probably just stop packaging this application and let someone else do it instead. I don't really understand why this would be perceived in any other way, but I guess we all have our biases here. I've always been for the ease of use and user experience. Maybe some people don't consider a password manager something that brings ease of use. I don't know. I don't quite understand it. What do you think about this? Like, do you think a distro's maintainer's job is to provide a full-featured application and users then can decide if they want that or not? Or do you think it's up to the maintainer to decide which experience they want to give their users by basically modifying the application that they're shipping, or at least its default feature set? Now, on Debian, it's not such a huge issue because you have access to a package called kpass-xc-full, which has all the plugins, but this just means that people who have installed this package previously, not the full one, the normal one, will get a worse experience and they will have to go read some obscure release notes that no one really reads to know that they should remove that package and install another one, which is not a good experience. You probably should have just created a package called kpass-xc-secure or -limited and let people who want that install this instead. I don't know. It feels like the default behavior should be you can integrate your password manager with your browser because that's the 99% of the use case of a password manager. What do you think about this? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Let me know. Let me know what you think also about the channel in general and about moving to Firefox. Is this something that you've done or that you wouldn't do? So, thanks for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, thank you all for joining. Thank you to all the new members for joining the channel. And don't worry, I will not increase prices on you all by myself. I will ask you what you think about it first because, well, you're the one supporting me and you get to decide this sort of stuff. So, thanks for listening, and I guess you will hear me in the next one next week. Bye!